Hello, fellow Earthlings. It's me, Bailey. Welcome to my podcast, The Conscious Buzz, where we chat about all things conscious living, holistic self-care, and the ways in which you can step into your highest evolvement in order to show up fully for yourself, other beings, and the Earth. Our planet is in an all-hands-on-deck kind of situation right now, and the world needs each and every one of us to own our truth, step into our power, and take action on behalf of our and the planet's highest good. I am here to remind you that collective healing happens on an individual level. Without further ado, let's dive in. What's up, everyone? It's Bailey. Welcome back to another episode of The Conscious Buzz. If this is your first episode and you're listening for the very first time, welcome. I'm so excited to have you here. I am a coach, a yoga teacher, and just, you know, a little human trying to figure out my life like everyone else. And I'm sharing my journey and my growth along the way in the hopes that it is of use and of inspiration and of utility to someone else. If you've been here before, welcome back. I'm excited to have you. And I'm super excited for what I'm talking to you guys about today. I had a little breakdown the other day and made it out alive, thank goodness. And it ended up being kind of a breakthrough for me. And I think that for most people, that's how breakdowns work, or at least we have the chance for them to work that way if we allow them to, if we're present and aware while it's happening. So upon exiting this breakdown and coming out of it, I had time to reflect and look back on it. And I realized that over the past couple years, as I grow and evolve, I have unknowingly developed a pretty strategic process for navigating these emotional pickles. So I wanted to break that down with you today and share my, like, I guess it's probably 3 or 4 steps that I do to get myself up and running again. And before going into the actual steps of the process, I just wanted to do a quick little overview of what is actually happening in your body, like what the stress response is, what it's doing, what's happening psychologically, physiologically, etc. I feel personally that when I understand what's actually going on, it makes it a little bit easier for me to tackle the situation in an effective way. So if this sounds like something that is good for you, then stick around. This is going to be useful for anyone as long as you're a human being, because everybody gets stressed, everybody gets into emotional turmoil, has breakdowns, you name it. Like, it doesn't matter who you are, where you are, what you do, what you don't do. This is useful for you. So let's dive right in. Hello, just wanted to come in and say that there's a point in the episode where I accidentally call step 3, step 4. Just wanted to confirm that there are for sure 4 steps. I accidentally skip ahead and call it step 4 when in actuality it is step 3. So they're in the right order. I just misspeak. All right, enjoy. Okay, you guys. So like I mentioned, I want to make this breakdown of the physiological response in your body as easy to understand as possible, just to give you a tangible visual of what is actually going on in your body and in your mind when you're worked up and you're stressed out. For me personally, it was such a big help to have an actual understanding of what your body is doing, because it makes it a little bit easier to step out of this space versus just feeling like, oh, I'm a victim to my feelings, there's nothing I can do about it, when actually there's a lot that you can do about it by interacting directly with your physiological functionings. So I'm sure that you have heard of your nervous system and how there's many different components of it. But today we're going to be talking about the sympathetic nervous system mainly, as well as the parasympathetic nervous system. The sympathetic nervous system is more commonly known as your fight or flight. This is where we hang out when we're being chased by zombies, saber-toothed tigers, lions, tigers, bears, an angry spouse, whatever it is. But unfortunately, it's also where we spend a solid majority of our time, even when those things are not happening, when our life is not directly in threat. That, I believe, is because we live now in a society that equates stress with success. And people get so worked up psychologically about things that are not an actual threat to their immediate safety. But our body doesn't know the difference. So our body receives those cues and thinks, oh God, like we're in danger. We're in danger. Shut down everything. Like we need to go into the sympathetic nervous system. And that's what starts that process of chronic stress over a long period of time, which is like the leading cause for most lifestyle related diseases. So anyway, that's going off on a little bit of a tangent. What was I saying? Lost my train of thought. Here we go. So when you're in your sympathetic nervous system, your reproductive system shuts down, your digestive system shuts down. And when you're in your parasympathetic nervous system, this is also known as rest and digest, that's when you're taking deep breathing, you're relaxed, you feel really good, you're able to restore your body, so your digestion's up, blood pressure's down, heart rate is down, you're chilled out. And this is where we should be spending a majority of our time, because most of the time our life is not in immediate danger. Okay, most of the stress that we feel is perceived fear, so it's not actual immediate tangible fear, if that makes sense. So before I go into anything else, just like a really quick tip for when you are feeling really stressed out, the number one thing that you need to do is take a deep breath, like multiple deep breaths, because long intentional exhalations massage your vagus nerve, and your vagus nerve is essentially an on switch for your parasympathetic nervous system. So that should be like your number one go-to. And then through this podcast, I'll give you a couple more steps as far as handling your stress response in a more hands-on, tangible way. But breathing is step number one. Our breath is the most powerful tool that we have for our well-being, and we take it for granted. We take it for granted. So use it. Use your breath effectively. It will change your life. So when you're in your sympathetic nervous system, fight or flight, you are activating and interacting with your reptilian brain. That's the part of our psyche that's in control when we are in the sympathetic nervous system, because that part of our psyche has one objective and one objective only, which is to stay alive. It is to thrive, not thrive. Just stay alive. It doesn't really care about thriving. It just cares about your survival. Okay. And this part of our brain, the reptilian brain, is stored in our subconscious mind. And our subconscious mind rules 95% of our thoughts and behaviors. And this is where we house limiting beliefs, toxic narratives, outdated systems of conditioning, etc. This is why behavior augmentation is so difficult, because our conscious brain, which has 5% of the vote, wants one thing. But then our subconscious mind, which has 95% of the vote, is harboring a conflicting belief. So there's some incongruency there. So our dreams and our goals and our desires become a reality when the beliefs that we're holding in our subconscious mind match the actions that we're taking in our lives. Anyway, that's a little bit of a tangent. So when you're in your sympathetic nervous system, it is the reptilian brain that is activated. And when you're in fight or flight, our brain, our mind is automatically going to be more pessimistic, because pessimism will keep us alive. So when you're running from a lion, you have, what's it called? I forgot what the actual word is, but just like a very intense gaze. Okay, your eyes are focusing in on your surroundings. And for your safety, for your survival, you're going to be assuming that everything in your immediate surroundings is some kind of a threat to your life, right? You're not looking around thinking, oh, what a beautiful tree, or like, oh, that cute little animal over there looks nice and fluffy and I really want to go pet it. No, you're running for your life. Everything is a threat to you. Okay, so the pessimism is a survival mechanism. So when we're chilling at home and a stressful thought pops into our head and we get attached to this thought and we get carried away with it, and then we start to feel stressed out because this thought is stressful or worrisome in some way, that psychological thought then becomes physiological. So now we're in our sympathetic nervous system, and our mind has now created that pessimism process. So then we're just recreating and reinforcing those stressful thoughts, and now we're stuck in a loop. Okay, does that make sense? I hope. I can't really get feedback from you guys. I really don't know why I keep asking if stuff makes sense. I just hope it does. Oh my goodness. I think that the brain and the body, it's so freaking cool the way that it works, and it just makes so much sense. Like, our mind literally just wants to keep us safe, and so it's looking for threats, right? It just wants to keep us safe. It wants to keep us alive, so it's our job to be aware of when this is happening and for us to come in and be like, nah, dude, like, thank you so much for trying to keep me safe. I see you and I appreciate you, but I've got it. We're safe. We're good. Everything is under control. Well, nothing is actually under control, but you know what I mean. You have to be there to reinforce to your body in the present moment that you're not in a state of physical threat, and realize that this thought projection, this thought loop, is perceived threat that doesn't actually exist. And we get stuck on these loops of stressful thinking because a thought comes in and we attach a story to it. Okay, so you're never going to be able to not think. Like, the point of this episode is not for me to teach you how to stop having stressful thoughts. That's never going to happen. Like, I'm just going to go ahead and burst that bubble for you. That is never going to happen. And the point of meditation is not to stop thinking. It's not it. And if that's what you thought, like, I'm sorry to make you sad, but that's not the point. The point is, the goal is to learn how to not attach to your thoughts. So when they come in, you're able, it's like you're sitting in a chair in your mind watching thoughts go by as though they're on a movie screen. Like, you're chilling, looking at these thoughts going by, being like, oh, okay, that's an interesting one. Oh, that one's kind of stressful, but I'm not going to attach to it. It's fine. We don't attach stories. Okay. And this is how we break this loop. So I'm going to go into my little four-step process now, because this is a good segue. All right. So step number one is compassion. And this is a four-step process. Every single one starts with a C because, you know, we love that. Makes it easy to remember. So step one is compassion. When you're stressed out, the worst thing for you to do is to get mad at yourself for being stressed. It's just going to make it worse. For being hard on yourself for feeling a certain way, that is not constructive for you. Okay, so instead, be a calm and all-knowing source of wisdom and peace. Be that witness. And let yourself know that it's okay to feel how you do right now and that you'll get through it. So validate the way that you feel. Come in there with a sense of understanding and compassion. Like, okay, Bailey, I understand why you feel like this. Blah, 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 blah. It's okay to feel like this right now. We're going to get through it. Just want to remind you that this is a temporary experience and it will pass. Okay, and a huge component of this is to, like I was talking about earlier, is to not identify with your emotions. Feel them, but do not become them. And language plays such a huge role here. You know, how often do we walk throughout the day saying, oh, I am so angry. I'm so sad. I'm so anxious. I'm just an anxious person. I'm an angry person. Versus, I'm currently experiencing some anger. Right now, I feel pretty sad. Or, ooh, I feel pretty anxious right now. Okay, it might not seem like a big deal or a big difference, but it's huge. That small shift in my language has been such a huge turning point in the way that I process my emotional state. Because one makes you the feeling, and the other one makes you the witness of the feeling. In one of those scenarios, your identity is contingent on something that is impermanent and transient. And in the other scenario, your identity is unshakable and unaffected by the presence of that temporary sensation. Okay. Another component of this step of compassion, or the umbrella step is compassion. There's multiple things underneath it. And another one is to be present. Okay, be present by holding loving, compassionate space for yourself to feel exactly how you feel. Take a deep breath, validate yourself, and remind yourself that you're capable of experiencing this and that it is safe for you to feel. Okay, so much stress and anxiety is perpetuated because there's this deep sense of lack of safety. Or this idea that if we allow ourselves to feel something to its fullest expression, that we won't survive it, that we're not capable of holding it. So be that compassionate, loving space, the same way that you hold space for your friends when they're sad, stressed, and upset. When your best friend comes to you and says, "Oh my gosh, I'm feeling really anxious right now," or "I did this thing and I feel really nervous about it," or "I don't know why I did this," you don't judge them or yell at them or get really critical with them, asking them like what the hell they're doing or why they would feel that way or like why they'd behave that way. No, you hold space. You create a safe container for them to process and effectively release that emotion in a safe and healthy way. So why not do that for yourself? Okay, the more that you can reinforce to yourself that you are a safe container, the more healthily and effectively you'll be able to process and release these emotions. Okay, so step two is curiosity. And you know what I always say? One of my little catchphrases that I've coined for myself? Curiosity over criticism. Any damn day. Curiosity over criticism. Get curious with yourself, not critical. Ask yourself questions. Explore your feelings and experiences, and don't judge yourself or the things that you feel, because that is neither constructive nor productive. Okay, it's a great joy in this life. It's a gift to be able to understand ourselves. But when we're critical, we shut down that opportunity. When we're curious, we open the door for expansion, for growth, to learn about ourselves. Have you ever, met? Okay, so let's say you go out with one of your friends or whatever, and you run into someone that they know. It's like a mutual or a friend of a friend. And you meet them super briefly, and you walked away from that encounter thinking, "Oh my God, like what a cold, unfriendly butthole of a human," or something similar to that. Okay. But then a couple weeks later, you meet them again at like a get together or whatever, because they're a friend of a friend. And somehow y'all end up sitting down and having a heart to heart, and you get to know them, blah, blah, blah. And then you walk away from that encounter thinking, "Oh, that is why they were acting like that when they first met me. I totally understand. They're actually a super, super cool person." Right? So what I'm asking you to do here in this step is apply that same principle to you. In that scenario, we made a rash judgment of someone based on a brief encounter and an observation of first impression behavior. But then after getting to know that person and getting to understand their story and their background and where they're coming from a little bit better, that behavior was justifiable and understandable. And the same principle applies to you. But like I said, if you immediately judge your behavior and write it off as gross and unacceptable and annoying, you're never going to give yourself the time and space to ask the right question that will lead you down the yellow brick road of expansive introspection. Right? Because when like out in life, if we meet someone we don't like, we don't put it in our planner to like call that person and ask them how they're doing. We make a note, oh, this person sucks. I never want to hang out with them ever again. And we do the same thing with ourselves. So stop it. Don't do that. Get curious, not critical. The more curious you get, the deeper your understanding of yourself gets. That doesn't sound fancy, but I'm going to say it again. The more curious you get, the deeper your understanding of yourself gets. And that is the point of being alive. No one will ever be able to understand you better than you can understand yourself. Ever. And the better you know and understand yourself, the more positive change and impact that you can make in your life and your behavior. And you're the only person that can do that, because no one anywhere ever will be able to understand you better than you can. So allow yourself to be the most captivating and interesting thing in your life.
Okay. Ooh, stretchy. Step 4, control. Our sweet friend. Sweet, sweet friend. The title of this step is a little bit of an oxymoron, because the intention here is actually to release control. But I didn't want to, you know, I didn't want to ruin my 4C thing. It's, you know, catchy. C. Anyway, so the intention here is to release control. But we do this by identifying what is within our immediate control in the moment. And we do that by getting curious. So when you're in a stressful situation, identify what about that situation you can directly impact and improve right now, this very second. And then once you figure that out, take conscious action on behalf of that. Okay? Then identify what you cannot, under any circumstances, control about the situation. Whatever is 100 million, thousand, gazillion, trillion percent out of your hands, and release it, because there is nothing that you can do. And when you have a clear division between these two things, it makes all the difference in the world. When you're able to very clearly look at what you do have control over and what you don't have control over, it is just the biggest sigh of relief. Because it gives you the opportunity to take conscious action, to control what you can, to impact what you can. But then it also just kind of gives you permission to relax on the other stuff, because there's literally nothing that you can do. And we waste so much time, energy, and focus by obsessing over the aspects of our lives that we can't control. And when we do that, we're taking our attention away from the things that we can control. We will never be able to have full control over our external environments, but we spend a solid ass portion of our lives trying to. Okay, but we can, and we do have control over our internal environment. But we neglect that portion. And we try to focus on control and fix the external. We cannot change the world, like the stress and the chaos of the world, but we can change how we perceive it and interact with it. And then by changing how we perceive and interact with it, then we change the world. Okay, so the last step, oh, I'm getting so sad. I can't believe we're already at the last step, you guys. This is the 4th C of the 4 C's. Can you guess what it is? I'm gonna give you like 3 seconds. If you can guess what it is, let me know and I will give you some kind of something. I'll mail you like a cookie or something. Okay, if you think you got it, let me know. The last portion is creation. Okay, so we've gone from compassion to curiosity to control, and now we're in my favorite portion, creation. It's my favorite portion, but I acknowledge that each one of those steps is equally as important. You cannot skip over one to get to another. Okay, you got to go through them all. So this is the stage that we arrive at after having gotten curious and real with ourselves. Okay, you got to be, when you get in that curious step, you have to be real with yourself. You got to answer those questions honestly, and it's probably not going to be fun. Okay, but if in that portion you asked yourself some good questions, did a lot of journaling, meditating, walking, had a lot of quiet time, whatever it is that you do to get in that space, chances are that you are going to discover that you're holding on to an old belief or an old narration system, narrative, that is doing you absolutely no service whatsoever and is actually causing you a lot of stress and unnecessary emotional turmoil. Okay, we're holding on to a lot of shit. Okay, and if you ask yourself the right questions and do enough digging and internal exploration, you'll get there. You'll figure out what it is that you're holding on to that's causing you stress and anxiety that you don't have to have. Okay, so this portion, this creation portion, is when we come in and we create a new story or a new belief. So I'll give a few examples. So this is your old belief. Instead of, I need to look this way in order to be lovable, replace it with, I am inherently worthy and lovable exactly as I am. Instead of, I'm this many years old, so I should be here in my life by now, replace it with, I am exactly where I need to be at all times, and I'm walking along my own divine path. Or instead of, I'll never be able to achieve my goals, replace it with, I'm capable of anything that I set my mind to, and the only thing standing in the way is myself. Our mind loves to be right, if you haven't noticed. Like, she loves that shit. She loves to be right. So when we're harboring a certain belief, like one of the ones I just listed, whether or not we realize it, okay, this is not necessarily a conscious action, we're going to constantly be scanning for evidence to support it. So when you decide that you want to change one of those beliefs, it takes effort because you now have to consciously be on the lookout for evidence to support your shiny new belief. Because the subconscious mind is already constantly looking around being like, see, I believe that you, like, I believe we're not capable of achieving these goals. And your subconscious mind is going to be like, yep, look, I told you, you can't do anything. Yep, I told you, you suck at everything. Yep, you're not capable of doing anything. So when you want to change that, you got to be on the fucking lookout, taking note of everything that you can that supports this new belief, constantly reminding yourself and reinforcing this new belief. Okay, and this is this creation period. So it's when we're creating those new beliefs. We're also creating new perspectives, new behaviors. This is when we have the opportunity to literally change the way that we see the world, to shed old layers of existence and step into an entirely new and higher expression of our existence. And it is such a powerful thing because it's at this point that we're consciously stepping into the role of conscious creator. And we're taking the things that bring us challenges, pain, and discomfort, and we are actively and purposefully transforming them into powerful points of growth. Like, how fucking amazing is that, you guys? It's so cool that we get to do that. Like, what a gift to be able to do that. And also, this is a great opportunity to take the word create or the activity of creation super literally. Draw, paint, write, dance, sing, use Photoshop,
whatever it is, whatever that means to you. But do it, because breakdowns, like I mentioned earlier, so often lead to breakthroughs, right? And when we have all of that internal buildup of erratic energy, there's a lot happening within us and it wants to be expressed. So this is a great time to tap into and reconnect with your preferred creative expression. And if you are sitting there thinking, oh, I'm not creative, I want to talk to you, because I'm a firm believer that everyone is creative. Everyone on this planet is a creator in some capacity. All right. So I guess the final step is to put all of this in practice, because information does not equal transformation. Embodiment and conscious action equals transformation. Okay, so just a quick recap. Step one, compassion. Tell yourself it's okay to feel how you do, and that your identity is not the emotion or the current internal state. You are the observer, and you are strong and capable enough to hold the space for this to process and move through. And all you need to do is just be present. Be present for that emotion and allow yourself to feel it fully, because you can. Step two is to get curious. Ask yourself all the questions. What about my current situation is making me feel this way? Is there anything I have immediate control over that I can change right now? What's causing me to respond this way? Am I reacting in this way because of a belief that I'm holding on to? What story am I attaching to right now? Is it my story? Is there something I'm avoiding? What are my current needs? How can I tend to them in a more productive way? All the questions. All the questions. Ask yourself all the freaking questions. Like I said, let yourself be the most interesting thing in your life. Date yourself. Get to know yourself. Ask yourself all the questions. Okay, step three is, what can I and can't I control? And a great activity to do this, get a piece of paper, draw a line down the middle, and on the left side, write down everything that you can control. And on the right, write down everything that you can't control. Okay, and then go from there. But having that visual, for me at least, it's really, really helpful. I love it. Okay, and step four is to create those new beliefs, new perspectives, new behaviors. And take what you learned through your curiosity escapades and explore them further. Grab a paintbrush, write, draw, sit outside, garden, whatever. Shed the layers that are holding you captive. Okay, become the conscious creator of your life so that you are no longer a helpless victim to your emotional state. Get in the driver's seat of your emotional vehicle. Okay, and the more you practice these things, the easier it will become. And then one day it'll be second nature and it will just be the way that you process emotions. And I just want to make a public service announcement that stressful situations are never going to go away. Life is stressful sometimes. It's part of the human journey, is having challenging situations arise, without a doubt. What changes is how we approach them, how we process them, and how we handle them. Okay, and that's our point of evolvement. We cannot control our external environment. We can only control our internal environment. So pour your time, your energy, and your attention into your internal state, because it is a waste of time to try to control the external, because you cannot. Okay, you guys, that wraps up my episode for today. And before we go, I just want to share that I have some very exciting news. I'm currently running a trial for my one-on-one program, which means my prices are as low as they will ever be. So if you are on a journey of self-development and are passionate about improving your overall well-being, full body health, and just up-leveling your life in general, send me a message on Instagram. My handle is @_HeyBales, HAYBAILS. And we can schedule a free 30-minute discovery call to determine if working together is the move. So I'll ask you a few questions about where you are, what you're dealing with right now, and where you want to be. And then we'll have the time for you to ask me some questions so that we can gain some clarity and really determine if working together is in alignment for us both. My one-on-one program is all about accountability and intimacy. I fully believe in the immense transformative power and impact of having someone walk alongside you and be there to support you as you grow. You are your own healer. I am just a guide chilling on the side, holding the space for you to cultivate the incredible transformation that you're capable of bringing into your life. Some of the touch points in my 6-month program are how to make healthy eating easy and enjoyable, and turning movement into something that you love to do, body acceptance, self-love, stress management, releasing limiting beliefs, masculine and feminine energy principles, and how they apply to routine formation, stepping into your highest expression, all the things, and just honestly living a life that feels so fucking good because you deserve it. So like I said, my prices will literally never be lower, and we can hop on a free 30-minute call. So if any of this sounds like fun, you know where to find me. Again, my Instagram is @HAYBAILS. Thank you so much for being here listening to this episode. If you liked it, please don't forget to leave a review, and feel free to screenshot it and share it on your Instagram story and tag me. I hope you have a wonderful day, morning, night, evening, whatever. I love you.